Welcome to Behind the Bounty, the only podcast dedicated to giving you an inside look at the community and the people that make bug bounties happen. Hosted by me, Ben Sadegapur, aka Nahomsek, Nathaniel Latimer, aka Donut. All right, Donut, tell me, who is our guest today?
Today, our special guest is Matthew Bryant, also known as Mandatory. He's a prolific hacker with an impressive resume. While he's done plenty in the space, bug hunters may be more likely to know him as the man behind XSS Hunter, a tool commonly used by bug hunters to find blind and other variants of XSS.
All right, Mandatory, tell us, who are you? What do you do? That's about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been into security stuff for pretty much as long as I can remember. I had like sort of a special interest in like web and like internet style vulnerabilities, but yeah.
Have you always been in security doing research, or like what sparked you to do research around, you know, web and everything else that you do?
I think what actually sparked me to do research is just like there's not a lot of like good academic material for the space, and a lot of the stuff that I've seen that has like stuff that's taught me the most has never been like a book. It's always been like some random blog post and like some Blogspot page, and like that's been where I've gotten all the good insights. So like I've really looked up to like people who do these write-ups and share this information with other people. So I think that's kind of what attracted me to it so much.
That kind of makes sense. Earlier today, before we did this, I was looking at your blog, thehackerblog.com. Kind of makes sense. Like, you have tons of stuff on there, you know, different things. You have different research on DNS. I've done some stuff around XSS Hunter and some examples of how you use it, which we'll talk about in a little bit. That all adds up. Like, it makes sense. I was wondering, like, dude, you're putting out a lot of content, a lot of good research, but it looks like, you know, research, other people's research has also played a big role in your career.
Yeah.
Tell us about XSS Hunter. How did you come up with the idea?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually learned about like the idea of blind XSS from going to, I think it was like an on-site talk at Netflix. And they had sort of like talked about it. They've made like a similar tool, which is called Sleepy Puppy, which I actually tried to use, but the software didn't work very well. And then from that, I kind of thought about like, I wonder how much this exists like in my day to day. So I kind of built like a small hacky script for finding the vulnerability at work in like some of the AppSec duties that I did. And I started finding like, it was like not super common, but when I started finding them, they were like super high impact because they were all internal systems. And so, like, I started to realize, like, hey, like, there's like a lot more out there, and like, if you just like, if you change your technique and how you find it, you'll find a lot more.
Did you find a bunch of blind XSS before XSS Hunter, or was it after XSS Hunter that the whole game changed for you?
Yeah, so I found like a bunch before, but like, it slowly kind of taught me like the kind of stuff that I actually needed, like. The original payload like wrote like a very small amount of information into like a log, and it was super hard for me to take that and say like, oh, here's the bug, like here's the problem, go and fix it, because I was on like an AppSec team, so I wanted the bugs to actually get fixed. Mm-hmm. But there was always like a lack of information, and so a lot of the features that you see are just like tacking on stuff, so it's like much more obvious what happens when the XSS fires.
I get what you mean. I think a big part of the AppSec role is being able to convey what the real risk of some of these vulnerabilities are, and also being able to identify the root cause so proper fixes can be rolled out. Honestly, I think XSS Hunter is one of the best examples of a tool that helps demonstrate that and other impacts of blind XSS. From showing screenshots, the DOM, or cookies accessible to JavaScript, I think it helps get the message across that you can't ignore or downplay the seriousness of this class of vulnerability.
Yeah, I think that it's really, a lot of people, like, when they think of XSS, the POC that's always shown off is, like, this, like, alert one box. And it's, like, that's usually what actually gets reported to, like, the developers that have to fix it. And it's, like, people just view it as, like, okay, like, I kind of get what could happen here, but not really understanding the full context. And when you have, like, a screenshot and, like, the entire DOM and all this stuff printed out, it's, like, much more easy to see, like, oh, this is, like, a real vulnerability. I need to fix this.
So let's talk about XSS Hunter itself. So you developed this thing. For someone who has never used XSS Hunter, tell us like how do we use it? Where do we go? What does it do?
Yeah, absolutely. So XSS Hunter is a basically an online service to help bug bounty hunters, security people find blind XSS vulnerabilities. And so the way that it works is you basically sign up for an account and you actually get your own kind of unique short domain, which is .xss.ht. And you can use that as a XSS payload in whatever format that you choose to basically like inject it into different website forms and parameters. And it will, whenever this actual JavaScript gets evaluated, it'll basically collect information about the page, a screenshot, the DOM, you know, cookies, and it will actually email you a report of it. So even if the payload fires in a browser that isn't yours, you'll still get notified and you'll still like know that vulnerability exists.
So how did you come up with these different aspects of XSS? Like, what made you decide that you want to collect the IP, you want to collect the DOM, cookies, and a screenshot? Why these things in particular?
A lot of it was basically there's two reasons. One of them was to make it easier to reproduce and to understand like what the how the vulnerability came to be. So for example, the DOM is really useful for this when you want to say to people like, oh, you want to review it and say like, oh, it's clearly the profile description wasn't being escaped. That's what caused the XSS. And the other piece is like being able to show like full impact to people and being able to like understand like where this actually fired, that you can say like, you know, you could truly understand what the system is. Because a lot of times I'll get like blind payload fires in like logging systems, and I'll be like, I don't know what the hell. I wasn't even intending to hit this, and I have to figure out like what it is, what it does. Is this high impact? And so that all helps with that.
How did you like log XSS? Well, when it comes down to blind XSS, prior to writing this the hacky way, how did you log for blind XSS? Like, how did you find them and identify them without, you know, using any tools?
Yeah, so the original version was just like I think it was like either PHP or like a small Python script that just like had a web endpoint that I redirected a short URL to, and it would like just basically write out some lines to a file saying like, hey, you know, they got loaded from this area. Like, I think it maybe included the URL of the page, and that was it. And over time realized that that was not the most easy thing to deal with because it's hard to reproduce and get information for.
And you also like, you know, you released a open source version of this. How did that come up?
Yeah, so I think I had actually written the original site. And I got asked by a friend, actually, because he had seen this. I told him about the idea. And he was like, that sounds very bad. He's like, you should. He actually asked me to, like, delay the rollout of it. Because he was concerned, like, giving defenders a chance to, like, get ahead of it or whatever. So I was originally delaying it just to be, like, abundantly cautious. Just to kind of prove the point, but not be like, here's a great way to find bugs. Just wreak havoc. So, and then eventually, you know, I just ended up rolling it out as fully open source because I think like basically any project that's trying to push forward in space should be open source.
One thing I'm curious about is, do you still use XSS Hunter either in engagements or your day-to-day work?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, it's also funny to see, like, I have so many insane scenarios where like I never thought the payload would fire, or I'll put it in a place and then like it'll fire like months or like up to a year later, and like I've completely forgotten the original incident. So like one really funny example of that is I actually went on like Google Maps and registered an address and like set my XSS payload in the address for like the listing, and I submitted it to Google, and Google didn't have an XSS, but like now like a couple months afterwards, when it actually got listed, all the people that scraped Google Maps, like this would continually fire.
Oh no.
So I kept getting like random, like, you know, like dinner lookup sites and like Yelp style services of people like looking stuff up. And I'm like, what, where the hell is this? And I'm like, oh,
that is insane.
That's right. I actually have like a picture of like they sent me an envelope or a letter from Google's confirming that they registered it. It has the XSS payload like on the front of the letter.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dude, speaking of that, my tax document had a blind XSS payload on it.
You gotta be, it's really great because it's like, it really makes you like it feels like kind of like an ease, like I don't know, like kind of like a lottery where it's like if you kind of are dedicated and you keep doing it, you'll just get like these random wins all the time and you like won't expect it. Like I'll be about to board a plane, I'll get like 10 buzzes on my email and I'm like, oh, I know what this is.
Dude, you know how awkward it is to explain to your accountant what this closing script tag and opening script tag means?
I can explain. I work in security.
I actually had this happen once. I had a call into customer support with, I think, Airbnb, and they had asked me what my security question was. And I had to basically explain what all these symbols were over the phone. It was the worst experience ever.
Open bracket.
Yeah. Open bracket or greater than or less than sign. Yeah.
Speaking of use cases, on your website, thehackerblog.com, you have a blog post called Breaching a CA-Blind Cross-Site Scripting BXSS in the GeoTrust SSL Operations Panel using XSS Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that. First of all, kudos to them for letting you disclose this.
Yeah, it was really great. Like, so I think around the time when I was doing a lot of this blind XSS stuff, I basically had made the service and I wanted to like show off to people like, these are real vulnerabilities that you should go find. And I was at the same time, I was also interested in like a way to like basically break the like SSL CA system. And so like I was like kind of combining the two areas of research together where I was doing like blind XSS testing while requesting certificates and seeing how that would play out. And it turns out that like a lot of these internal panels for like approving SSL certificates were definitely made in like early web design. And so like the outside websites are super polished, but like the internal like admin panels are like, you know, nobody's trying to impress any of the internal employees. So they're just like gross kind of HTML versions of them.
But it makes sense though. Like this is the only place you'd expect it to fire. Well, not the only place, but the most common place for it to like pop out, right? It's the internal stuff that's built like, you know, 10 years ago and never bothered to fix because who's going to see it?
Yeah, it really turns it like, I think that's kind of the cool intersection for the vulnerability is it's like this great intersection between like like portals that are like not maintained, you know, because they think like, oh, this is an internal web app, like in order to like get access to it, they think like, oh, it has to be an internal employee anyways, so I don't have to worry about it. But like, because it renders this data from like an external source, like it's just as vulnerable as anything else. And it's actually often worse because it's like where all the actual internal information is, right? It's like an admin panel or like a support panel.
So like you have this website and almost anybody can use it. Has there been any cases of people saying, what the fuck, someone used your website?
Oh yeah. Tons. I think I get 3 reports a week, which I try to keep up with. Most of it is just like me saying like, okay, provide the logs, and if like they link up what I see next to the center side, I'll just have to like basically sinkhole the domain. But more and more and more, that's probably the most intensive part of having the site is just like dealing with the complaints that come in. And it's been funny, like I've gotten complaints from people I know like in real life. And then I like reply with my name and they're like, oh, what, you run this website? I'm like, yeah, sorry about that. So
why is this tool, the way you designed this tool, anybody could log in, you know, it's a free account. Why did you make it a freemium kind of a thing and not charge for it a couple of dollars to get it sponsored or supported through the community? Because, you know, by the looks of it, people are getting some really good bounties through this, right? Like I can talk about some of my bigger bounties being involving XSS Hunter. So why make it free when you know there's a ton of money to be made from this thing?
Yeah, I've actually been asked this a couple of times. I've thought about it, but my honest feeling is like the original reason I made it was just to kind of like prove a point that like this is an actual systemic problem, and it's something that I use anyway, so I would keep it up. But I sort of kept it up just because like I get a lot of joy out of reading like people's blog posts when they publish about it. Like I remember reading like one about somebody using it with their Tesla to like find XSS and like their support stuff.
And like, I know exactly who that is too. That's
Sam
ZLC.
Curry, aka
yeah,
ZLZ.
Sam Curry. Yeah.
And I was like, and so every time I get like kind of down on it, where I'm like, I'm paying all this money to host this thing, and like I just get abuse complaints for it. I see like one of these posts, and I'm like, all right, yeah, this is totally worth keeping up because I love seeing like people like get good findings with it. So
have you thought of setting up like a PayPal donation link or something? Do you have that?
Yeah, I actually do. I've had some donations from it. I think it's definitely been a lot more to pay for the service, but it's nice to have it padded off a little bit through that.
So this is not sponsored by Matthew, but if you are listening to this and you use XSS Hunter and you have found a vulnerability, go sponsor it on GitHub or donate to the link.
I'm going to go sponsor it right now, actually.
Yeah, so talking about the use cases, I've personally used this. So just recently, Zayed and I were working on this public bug bounty program on HackerOne. Hopefully, I can disclose that vulnerability before this episode drops. But we ended up getting access to one of their internal tools. We'll name what it is, some notebook tooling. It allowed us to get blind XSS in there, and that kind of gave us a lot of PIIs. And it turned out if you have blind XSS within this thing, you can actually RCE the entire machine. Have you ever came across crazy stuff like that using it on your own?
Yeah, I definitely have. There's been a number of, this is like especially relevant because like we're seeing sort of more and more that like Electron, the framework is becoming like a really popular thing for like people who can write JavaScript and front ends to like write desktop apps. And they're essentially just like web pages that just have like full RCE by default, unless you do like a ton of work to like, you know, basically configure it to be like not its regular permission set, which if people do that, they're not really getting the advantage out of the framework anyways. And so like I found like a bunch of like, it's surprising what you realize is actually like a web application that's on the desktop. And a lot of them I find out through XSS Hunter. It's kind of given me like it's kind of actually an internal joke between a couple friends of mine that like everything is actually just a web app and there are no native desktop apps anymore. Everything that looks native is actually just a web application that's just themed really well. So,
yeah, I mean, it's crazy to not even think about the amount of things you can do when you get a blind XSS on anything almost. Like the use case is like crazy, right? But where is like the most common place for you? Like where is somewhere like when you go on a website, you're testing some application, you see this thing that's getting captured and you put a blind XSS payload. What are some of those common patterns that you've seen?
Yeah, so I could tell a couple sources that I've used that have really paid off. One of them is I actually put it in the Whois information for my website. And I still like to this day get like internal threat tools, people that like applications that were written for security that it fires on. I've put it in like, I find like putting it anywhere in your profile information for websites when you sign up. If you do that, like I have a really good example is I did this for GoDaddy, the domain registrar. And I put basically an XSS payload in my profile information and forgot about it. And then later on, I had an issue with my account and I called them. And while I was on the phone with the support person, they like typed in my like email and looked up my profile. And then they were like, oh, my webpage is broken for some reason. This software is really crappy. And then I immediately had my phone vibrate like 20 times like consecutively. And I was like, oh, yes, this is definitely an XSS.
That's insane.
I wonder how many people are doing this for bug bounties, like putting stuff in there about me or, you know, their first name, last name, and calling customer support. If you're listening to this, don't do it, but I don't blame you if you do.
You know, at the same time, I have to think, how many bad actors are doing this kind of stuff? Like, you're accidentally finding a bunch of pretty critical vulns. What about the people who are really trying?
Yeah, it's actually hilarious because it feels kind of like almost like a fake movie style vulnerability where like, you know, if you saw this in the movie where it's like the hacker like calls support and then like support does something and like magically they have access to their internal systems, you'd like look at that and be like, oh, is that real? But it totally works. I'd actually venture to say that like you probably would have a pretty good success rate if you did this pattern over and over again for common bug bounty programs.
Dude, my favorite is putting it in my user agent.
I have heard this a number of times from Ben, by the way. Like, he has told me explicitly to put XSS payloads in your user agent. He swears by this. It's insane.
Dude, it gets better. You go and order something on any bug bounty program that takes orders and delivers stuff. 10 out of 10 times. Like, I'm not kidding. Sorry, 9 out of 10 times. The 10th time I got duped, I was a month late. But
the worst feeling.
9 out of 10, right? 9 out of 10 times I've ordered something, second line of address, blind XSS payload. A little bit tricky to get it to work, but 9 out of 10 times it's worked. I've made bets with people telling them, go try it, and it has worked. Like, insane to think about, like, it doesn't process where it is backends are being created, but as a hacker, you need to be able to recognize these. And I think with my XSS, it's been, well, XSS Hunter, it's been super easy to do.
I have a really good example where I basically found this vulnerability in like an internal application, and it fired when somebody was like viewing this like submission. And then when we went to go like get the logs to figure out if anybody else had exploited this previously, the logging system fired as well. And we were just like, should we just go home?
Yeah, I've seen tweets of people saying that I've put it as their password, which kind of scares me knowing that the password is, you know, like saved in plain text like that.
It's like a double gotcha. Like, exactly, not only did you not like hash the password.
So are you continuously maintaining XSS Hunter?
Yeah, I try to. I have like... I'm pretty busy in general, but I try to like maintain it as much as possible. I have like downtime alerts for it, and I'll like try to keep it up. It's been a bit of a challenge scaling it, just because like it's pretty common to have like people use the service and then like get like tons and tons of XSS payloads like at once. I definitely had people not go for the service a few times doing that. So it's been mostly like me fighting with like A, my cloud bill, and B, like just scaling it up for the traffic.
So I have to ask, actually, regarding the reliability, which you just hinted at a bit, how did you set this up? Where did you set these alerts up? Is this some custom-built infrastructure that identifies the reliability of XSS Hunter, or are you relying off of something already built out in your cloud provider?
Yeah, so I actually wrote... One of the alerting tools is actually just AWS Lambda that continually like requests the page, and then on any exceptions it gets while trying to request it, it basically emails me the full results, which unrelated is a great way to figure out how reliable your host is, because like I'll notice like very obscure SSL errors that occur once every like 1,000 page loads and stuff like this. But yeah, so it's mostly custom stuff there. So I get an alert if like, you know, the load time takes too long or like if there's an error, but I've had a lot of dinners ruined by that, unfortunately.
Now, are they ruined because XSS Hunter is actually down, or are they ruined because you want to dig into the SSL error? Because I know where I'd fall.
Unfortunately, I think most of them have just been like, some of them have been like false alarms where it's like, I think it's an outage and it turns out to like be the what you mentioned. But sometimes they're like real outages, and it's never ever like at a good time. It's always at like 5 in the morning, and I'm like, oh, all right. Well, I guess I'm getting up early.
So are you updating the actual service itself? It seems like, and I'm not a frequent XSS Hunter user myself, so perhaps I'm not seeing everything. But from my perspective, it doesn't seem like the service itself is changing terribly often. So is there a lot of availability concerns from that aspect, like updating it or risking it going down from adding a new feature?
You're completely right. I haven't changed a lot of the base service. The only things I've been changing have been things to like basically just allow it to scale with the amount of people using it. Like the very first version, like it wrote all the screenshots to disk, which I stopped doing because, you know, of course, as more users came online, the disk filled up, and then it was like an outage, and I'm like, crap, I had to scale out the disk, like move everything over, and now it's to the point where like all the images are written to like S3, definitely scalable. Even the SQL database that stores all the injections, that automatically has auto-scaling drives that just get bigger with the storage. So it's been a process.
So going back to the tool itself, again, this is open source. If I wanted to use my own instance, I could go download it. You have a undergo version of it. And how hard is it to install that? I've never done it. So I want to kind of understand, how hard is it to install it on my own? Is it complicated? What does it rely on? Is there any third-party stuff I have to use?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a pain because like there's a couple of things that you need actually to sort of get it running. One of them is like this is like something I noticed when I built the service originally, is like having a short domain is like kind of critical for getting good results, because a lot of these like fields that you can inject into, like you have a very limited character set. So like every character matters, and you can literally like have an XSSP load that doesn't work if it's too long. So like that's why when you register for XSS Hunter, you get like XSS.ht. So you have to set that up. You have to set up the SSL certificates and like the API and the GUI. So it takes like a good bit to get all that going. At some point I wanted to like Dockerize it and make it like one click, but I just haven't had a whole lot of time to go off and actually do that.
And tell me again, why did you open source it? Like what made you want to give people the ability to be able to run their own instances?
Yeah, it's like I generally like open source most of what I do, just because I think that it's like the best way to sort of contribute to the field. I also did it because like people could like review the code and like tell me if there's issues with it, and also like if it was just like an online website, I thought, you know, I probably wouldn't trust that. Like I want to like basically give people like say like, hey, you can trust me, use the website. Or don't trust me, go ahead and set it up yourself. Like, I don't really care. Like, I'm just trying to, like, show that this is, like, actually an issue, right?
One thing that I'd like to ask about, just because I've personally been in this situation where I have some interesting code that I'd love to open source. From your perspective, did you feel any worry when you open sourced it? Did you ever think, you know, people will see my code, find a bunch of issues in it, and realize I'm this huge fraud? What was that process like when you decided to open source this project, this interesting security tool that has become such a main staple in the bug bounty community? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it's 100% the case that like I write code that is not always, I've never been like a professional software developer by title. And I think this is actually not uncommon in security. There's a lot of people who they write code, but they wouldn't call themselves programmers, so to speak. And so like a lot of my code can be a bit hacky. And the only way that you can get better is by writing more stuff, right? So originally when I was gonna publish it, I was like, I did have some friends review it to make sure like there's no stupid obvious security issues, is there? Like just so that, mm-hmm. you know, the common thing that I think everybody's scared of is like there's a security person that releases a tool, and everybody's immediately baited into being like, you know, the Twitter screenshot with this obvious vulnerability, and you're like, oh, I'm so stupid.
Exactly. You don't want the alert one from your site showing up on Twitter. That would be bad.
Yeah, we've seen too many callouts where this has happened.
So what is the future of XSS Hunter? Where are you going to go with it?
Yeah, so I think the future for a lot of this stuff, and there's actually some existing features which I noticed that people don't take advantage of that I think are actually very, very useful. One of the features that's like super useful that I've had myself is like there's some, you can actually do what are called correlated injections with XSS Hunter. And so if you use like basically a tool that uses this API, you can basically mark off where you're doing injections, like if it's in a user agent, for example, and you can actually like get that information as a part of the report. And so like a common thing that will happen with Blind XSS is like you'll do an injection and then it will fire and you won't remember like how the hell like it got there, or like what you did to cause it. And so like repoing it or like reporting it to people can be tough. So XSS Hunter actually has an API, and there's actually like tools, like you can integrate it with like Burp and like a couple other like proxy style things to automatically do injections. And so that's like a super, super useful feature that I don't see used very often, but it's great for reproducing and like explaining like how the vulnerability occurred. There's also another feature which is pretty useful for people who are kind of like in between paranoid, where like they don't want to run the open source version, but they also like don't want to use the online version. And the you can actually enable PGP encryption of the payload. And so that will actually like, you can paste a public key into the site. And then when the XSS payload fires, it'll actually like do a complete like PGP encrypt all of the report contents, and then just like email it through the XSS Hunter server encrypted. So like it doesn't even have access to like the underlying payload data.
That is very cool.
All right. So just thinking about this, top of my head, I can think of three companies: Grab, Twitter, Tesla, and a ton of hackers: Sean Milia, Justin Kennedy, Doggy G, myself, Nafi, tons of hackers who have used this tool and have publicly talked about how they have found, you know, vulnerabilities for bug bounties and gotten paid for this. How does that make you feel, dude? What does that mean to you?
Honestly, it's like, it's everything I'd wanted for and more. Like, I actually get extra excited when people get like huge bounties off of it, because it's like, it's just fun for me to like read about it, because like, you know, I've been like, I've worked at plenty of like companies and like make a regular salary, so I'm not super worried about making tons of money off of it. It's just been mainly seeing like people get like super big bounties for themselves and like good findings with it.
Did you think this tool was going to become this big? Like, did you, in the back of your mind, like, did you think this was going to blow up as big as it did? Because I think it's a pretty widely used bug, like, it's a pretty big tool when it comes down to bug bounties. And I know a lot of hackers are regularly using this. Did you ever expect it to become this big and so popular?
No, definitely not. When I originally, I had basically built it because I was like, I wanted to use it, and I knew some friends that would want to test using it. And it's been very surprising to see the amount of people that actually kind of use it in their day to day. So yeah, definitely unexpected.
So one thing I'm interested in, just as somebody that has also contemplated releasing tools publicly or has put a site out personally, do you happen to have people who try to hack into XSS Hunter to try to get access to everyone's payloads and where their alerts are firing and such?
There's got to be, right? Like, there's got to be people trying to get access to all these different companies that are getting owned by this, right?
100%. In fact, actually, like, some of the thoughts I've had about, like, changes I would make to the service are mainly around, like, you can't ever make anything, like, 100% hack-proof. And, like, I have the source code online. Like, I want people to analyze. I want people to tell me if they find vulnerabilities. But, like, you know, basically what I'd love to have for the service is to actually have, like, low retention on a lot of the payloads. And, like, basically so that when people have XSS payload fires, like, it's stored for maybe, like, a week before it's automatically deleted. And they can keep, like, the email copy, for example, to kind of minimize the, like, I've not become a big fan of the amount of, like, stored payloads that are just sort of sitting there. So I'd love to have a way to, like, reduce that. So even if something like that did happen and something was successful, like, I wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be as dramatic as it otherwise would be.
You know, while I totally understand where you're coming from with like a reduce the blast radius kind of mentality on the impact that popping XSS Hunter could have, I have personally noticed as a triager that people sometimes don't respond to XSS Hunter alerts until months after the fact. So I'm kind of curious, how would you handle that situation? Would it be like a, we'll delete this a month after you've seen it, or is this a, we'll delete this a month after it has popped situation?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. And I definitely see that. I think that there's a couple of different things that we could configure it based on. Like, if you've not logged in, I could see storing it for longer just to give people a chance to, like, actually get their payloads. Because I definitely, like, gone back to the panel and seen, like, a bunch of stuff. And maybe, like, the retention could be based off of, like, do they have emails enabled so that we know if there's, like, are they getting a copy somewhere that they could keep? That could also be an opt-in thing. I'm not entirely sure.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah, I'm mind blown at the fact that, like, it makes sense, right? Like, hack the hackers, get all the data for free, and just use it for free, right?
It's like a force multiplier. I've always joked that it's running it can be kind of a thankless job because, you know, whenever you have any sort of site that gets popular in the security community, it's like kind of, I don't know if it's the Krebs effect. It's probably not a good word for it because I think that might mean something different now. but like, you know, his site gets, you know, DDoSed constantly. And like, so I've had like people DDoS the site. I've had to deal with like people abusing the APIs and like stuff like this. So that's always a fun side job.
Well, thank you very much for spending all this time talking with us about XSS Hunter. A quick couple of last minute questions for you. We had talked about potential upcoming updates to XSS Hunter and other potential features. Where can people seek out updates on availability or feature work being done with XSS Hunter? Basically, where should people be looking?
Yeah, absolutely. The main thing is like, as with everything in security, Twitter is kind of where it happens, where I'll post updates for it. So I'm just at @IAmMandatory. On Twitter, and so like I'll usually post, like, especially if there's like an outage or if there's any new features I'm adding, I'll post updates there.
Super cool. Are there any places where blog posts are happening or interesting research you're personally doing that people should be taking a look at?
Yeah, absolutely. So on top of the Access Center stuff, I also post about, security research that I'm doing on thehackerblog.com. So that's just mainly like an outlet for like any sort of security work I'm doing, new research that I'm publishing, stuff like that.
The last thing I wanted to ask, I mean, we've talked a while. We've spent at least 30 minutes chatting about interesting and cool things going on with you and XSS Hunter. Just a real quick reminder for the people listening, what are the things you're currently working on or things that you're currently doing that people should be looking out for when they go to your blog or Twitter? Basically, what are the things you're doing right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually doing my own startup right now. So a lot of the work has been sort of that. But I don't know if that is relevant for this. But in addition, I've been doing, I always have like a side area for security research and other interesting stuff I'm doing on the side. One interesting side project I'm working right now, which will probably be released somewhat soon, is actually a site that is a user, it's like a community driven site to get actually a database of all the domains on the internet. And so you can like su submit dumps of domains and it will actually validate them. And the idea is that it can get a huge data set for things like subdomain brute forcing and some of these other topics.
Super awesome. Thank you very much.
All right. That was Matthew Bryan, aka Mandatory, the brilliant mind behind XSS Hunter, one of the most popular tools amongst bug bounty hunters. Thank you again for joining us. If you don't follow Matthew, go ahead and follow him on Twitter at Mandatory and check him out on the hackerblog.com. Thanks again for joining us, dude.
Yeah, no worries.